Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Pei Gimel. Begin 10 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that is, we had discussed the halacha regarding if someone purchases in the previous Mishnah two trees or three trees, what's the minimum amount of trees that a person has to buy in someone else's field to acquire land with that field. In the opinion of the Rabbanan were that you have to acquire three trees to then for it to be considered a state ilon, an orchard, and then you get the land with it too. Now, the Gemara had asked, now, how much space is there to be between these trees? Because if it's too far apart, then they're not going to be combined, and therefore they're each going to be considered individually and not to combine as an orchard. If they're too close, then it's going to be like a forest where it's not like an orchard either because you can end up taking it out. They're too close. What's the measurement of the distance that's between the three trees to be considered a state ilon? So I think Gemara brought a machlokes. Reb Nachman held the measurement was from between 8, I mean not less than 8 amas and not more than 16 amas, whereas Rav Yosef held not less than 4 amas and not more than 8 amas. Now Abaye said to Rav Yosef that don't disagree with Rav Nachman because there's a Mishnah, Masechtas Klaim, that says like him where he brought the measurement that 16 amas is already considered a separate, as we find by the laws of Klai Kerem, and therefore you see that it's up till 16, which is the cutoff, not like you said 8. Which Rav Yosef responded, he says, I don't hold like that. Rather, there was an actual incident that was pasukin the way I hold, which is actually the seifa of that Mishnah, where Mei and Reb Shimon say clearly, which is the last words before we continue on this daf, that the cutoff is 8 amos, not 16 amos, which is how Reb Yosef held. So that's the machlekes Reb Yosef and Reb Nachman, which we find as a machlekes Tanoim in the Mishnah, Masechtas Klaim. Now, that's why Gemara continues and says as follows. So Bishlam and Reb Yosef very well has understood the opinion, the Amir of Reb Yosef, who he said, as we could on the previous daf, that the measurement between the trees has to be between 4 and 8 amas. And the reason because is, as we explained, he holds Aliba de Reb Shimon. He's saying like the opinion of Reb Shimon, where we find this Tana Reb Shimon explicitly like Reb Yosef, where he mentions both measurements, both the minimum and the maximum. As the Gemara says, Shemin le mifuzarin, we learn his halacha about the maximum amount, how much it could be spread out, which is 8 amas. And v'shemin le ritzufim, we also learn the halacha of how close can they be, which is contiguous, which is 4 amas, and not closer than that. As the Gemara explains, mifuzarin hadamar, the halacha of how far spread out they could be, that's the Mishnah from the Sefer, that Mishnah Masechtas Klaim that we quoted a few lines up from the previous daf, that's not to be considered klaim, is 8 amas or more. So we see that 8 amas is the cutoff for considering something distinct from the other and not connected. Now, ritzufin did not. And regarding how close they can be, that also we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Klaim. Also, in the context of the halachas of Klai Karim, which we're borrowing for our purposes over here regarding Mekech or Memker. The Mishnah there says, Karim hanatua al pachas medalat amas, eino karim. A vineyard that's planted where the rows are less than 4 amas apart from each other, that's not considered a vineyard, divrei Reb Shimon, because rather that's considered like a forest, meaning they're too tightly pressed together, and therefore it's going to be permitted with planting some other seed like wheat and barley over there. It's not going to be a problem of climb because it's not a karam. Because again, as we see, less than 4 amas is considered too close. The chachamayim, karam, they say no, it will have the halacha like a vineyard, and therefore you cannot plant other seeds over there. Because v'royin esam tzoyim kilo in, and you view those rows in between, meaning you have to, you're right, they agree you have to have 4 amas distance between them. But the rows that are there, because it's less than 4 amas between them, we view those middle ones as if they're not there. And the reason for that is because whatever is going to be ripped out, we view it already now as ripped out. And since it's not going to be maintained like that because it really needs space, so we really halachically view it as if it's not there, which, as Rashbam points out, is a stringency in the halachas of Klaim that the Chacham hold. But one thing we see is that the opinion of Reb Yosef is straight head-on on the opinion of the Tana of Reb Shimon. One, regarding the maximum of what we brought in the previous Mishnah, Masechtas Klaim, of how big, up until 8 amas, and also in this Mishnah, up until how small, is Dalet amas. But El, Rav Nachman, would ask the Gemara, according to the other opinion, that of the Amir of Rav Nachman, that he held that the maximum was 16 amas, and the minimum was 8 amas. So as we explained, because Aliba Drabbanan, he's going like the first opinion that Mishnah Masechtas Klaim that we brought on the bottom of the previous Daf and Amud Beis, he's going like Drabbanan, like the Tana Kama. So Mefizar and Shemin later. So from there, from that incident we find by Tzalman, that we see clearly about how far it could be, which was this, that he had planted the rows 16 amas apart, and therefore they're viewed as separate. But Ritzuf and Mishaminle, but do we find the Tanoik support for Rav Nachman's opinion for how tight they could be? We don't find that. And that the Gemara says, you're right, although it's not explicitly said the Rabbanan hold the minimum is 8 amas, but svaruhu, it's logic that the ritzufin would be not less than 8 amas. And the reason is because midil Reb Shimon, from the fact that we find by Reb Shimon, that his measurement of ritzufin is palga, is half of what he holds his mufuzarin, meaning, as we just explained for Reb Yosef, who is following Reb Shimon, the max is 16, and the minimum is half of that, which is 8. So the Rabbanan, Nami Palga, that's how Rav Nachman knows, that so too for Rabbanan, that their Ritzufin is half of the Mifuzaran, which Mifuzaran, according to Rabbanan, is 16, as we find the Maisa of Tzalman. So half of that is going to be the Ritzufin, which is 8. Now Amar Rava, he says, that actually the Hilchas Halacha is not like either one of them, not like Rav Yosef or Rav Nachman. Rather, it's Mi'arba Amis. The minimum is 4 Amis, which was actually like that story of Uvdid Ravasa that was brought on the top of this amud that we quoted in the previous staff, that Rav Yisrael had brought a support that the minimum is 4 amas, and va'ad sheish esrei, and up until 16 amas, which was actually like the Uvdi de Tzalman, which Rav Nachman had brought support for himself from the Rabbanan, from the Mishnah Masechtas Klein. Now, as Rashbam explains, that actually Rav is passing totally like the Rabbanan, because he holds, not like the way we just explained for Rav Nachman, that no, where we find the Rabbanan disagree with Rav Shimon, that's where they disagree. When we don't find that they disagree, they don't disagree. So, yes, we learn explicitly in the Mishnah Masechtas Klein that they disagree with Rav Shimon's max of 8 amas of what Mifuzarin is, and they say it's 16, but regarding Ritzufin, regarding the minimum amount of 4 amas, that they agree to Rav Shimon. And we don't say the Swad Rav Nachman said that from the fact that Rav Shimon's Ritzufin is half of his Mubizarin, so did the Rabbanan. No, Rabbanan hold the max is 16 and the minimum is 4. And says the Gemara, Tanika for Seder Rav, we have a Brisa that supports the opinion of Rav. Says the Brisa, Kama Yumuka Ravin, how close could the trees be together? Arba Amas, only 4 Amas. But Kama Yumuka, how far apart could they be? Sheish Esri, up until 16 Amas, which is clearly like this opinion of Rav, which that's his going according to Pindar Abonon. Then you have the following halacha. If the trees were between that area of 4 to 16 amas, then, and it was 3 trees, then that raised a kanakarka, then he has acquired the land beneath the trees, Vesilonir Shebenayin, and the trees that are between those trees, meaning these small trees that are between these 3 big trees, meaning he gets all the land, including those small trees. Lafikach continues the Brisa, and therefore, if Yavish Ilan, if the trees that he bought dried up, so they were cut down, Yeshlekarka, he has the ground, and he can therefore replant new trees. Now, but says the Brisa, Pachiz Mikan, or Yesrakan, but if let's say the area was less than that, or more than that, even if it was the right amount of measurement, but the 3 trees were not bought at one time to be considered like an orchard, rather they bought one after the other, then Harizal Laikana, then he has not acquired Loisar Karka, not the land beneath and between them. Veloyis Alana Shabanani does not get the small trees between them. And Lafikach, there from that type of situation, Yavashil Noiniktsits, if the tree dries up or if it gets cut off, in La Karka, then he does not get the land to be able to go ahead and plant new trees in that place. Now, related discussion on this topic regarding the distance between these 3 trees, which considers it as the Elon, so that the one who purchased the trees gets the land too, by your Birmir. Birmir had the following question. Kishahu Maidid, when he measures, because he got to measure to make sure it's within that area, the three trees, Mimokim Kotzer, is it from the narrow part of the tree, which is the higher part of the trunk, when it narrows out, that's where Hu Maidid, that's where he measures the area of between 16 to 4 amas? Or is it measured from the wider part of the tree, which is closer down to the bottom, which is wider, and that's where the measurements start. So Amali Rav Gavim Beikasal Ravashi, he responded, he says, Toshima, come in here, that will prove that actually you don't measure from the bottom or the top, but rather from the middle part, which is in the middle of the tree. It's not like, Mishnah Masechtas Klein. It says, Harechuva Shebegefen, which is when there's a young vine that is grafted together with an older vine. So the halacha is einu meided, that when he's measuring, he does not measure these 4 intermediate amis that it has to be between the vines, because to be considered a vineyard, you have to have 2 vines facing 2 opposite vines and another 5th one, like a tail, that's at the edge of those 2 facing those 2. So they have to have an area of dalad amis. So and that says the Mishnah, that there you don't measure elam ikar hasheni. So where do you measure from to see if it has that area between the vines? That is only from the second knot, that's on the vine. Whereas we learned in the Brisa this concept that that when this comes to reeds or it comes to vines, that where you cut off from, if you buy the rights to the wood of their vine, is min hapekakulamalo. What that means to say, it's some type of a knot that there is in the trunk of that vine. So what we see in that Mishnah is that you do it me'ikar hasheni, that's who you measure from. Meaning, not from the first knot, which is lower down on the vine, which is wider, and not from the third knot, which is higher up, which is narrower, rather from the middle one, which, that's what the Gemara is proving. Same thing would apply to trees. You measure from the middle knot of the trunk, which is the intermediate part, and that's where you measure this area of between 4 and 16 amas. Another question from Bayer Birmir. Birmir asked, Mocha lo shleisha ba de ilan, again on this topic, if someone sold someone else 3 branches of a tree, meaning he really in actuality sold him 1 tree, which has 3 primary branches coming out, which these branches are 4 amas distance from the other branches. Now, these are not just branches that are coming out on the top, they're all the way down to the bottom of the trunk, which at some later point, the ground ended up getting higher where all the sand and mud and everything piled up near the trunk of the tree. So at the time of the sale, although it's really 1 tree, it actually looks like 3 different trees because where it's coming out from the trunk, it's already covered by earth, so it looks like as if it's 3 different trees. Mahu, what's the halacha? Do we go based on the actual tree itself, where that's where it's growing from, and ultimately it's really 1 tree, and therefore it does not get any land with the purchase of those 3 branches, which is really 1 tree? Or maybe do you say that since ultimately each one of these branches ended up taking root themselves in the ground, although it's coming out from the tree, but now it's in the ground and it's as if it has its own roots and it's nourishing from the ground, and therefore it's like 3 different trees and it's going to acquire land, even though they're really attached to the same tree beneath the ground, what's halacha going to be? So Amalei Rav Gavimi Beikasla Rav Ashi says, Toshamat etnan, come in here and we'll answer the question from a Mishnah Masechtas Klai. The Mishnah says, Hamavrich, if someone bends over the middle of a vine, and he bends it down into the ground. So he takes an existing vine and he bends the middle part into the ground, and he covers that middle part with ground, with dirt, in the middle of that vine. Now, when it takes root in the middle of that vine, then they end up cutting off the first part, and now that pops up, and now the other middle part, now it's like its own vine growing up because now it took root. So if someone does this with Gimel Gefanim, with 3 vines, so what he does is he takes these 3 vines and he bends them over into the ground, and ultimately it will take root, that middle part, times 3, which then will multiply by 2 because then you're cutting it off, will turn it to 6. That turns it into a bona fide kerem, a vineyard, because in every 6 you're going to have 2 facing 2, and a third one that's coming out at the end, like a tail, which is the minimum measurement of a vineyard. Now, that's why Rashbam says that the case here that they spoke about was 3 vines that you're bending over, which times 2 equals 6, because you can't have 5 vines if you're starting over less than 3. Because if you take 2 vines and you bend it over, you're going to have times 2, which is going to be 4, and you need to have 5. So it says the Mishnah, let's say you do this. You bend over the 3 vines, the Ikrayin Nirin, and then you see the roots, meaning it already took root, and now it's already new vines. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik Omer, he says, Im yesh beinein midal ramas vad shmeina, if you have the area of between 4 to 8 amas, which he's going like the opinion of Remeya and Reb Shimon, which they said that that's the minimum measurement of having between, that's how much you have to have, then mitstarfen, then they combine. Now, this is in spite of the fact that every 2 vines, which you're bending over, so although it's turning 3 or turning into 6, but every one of those that has the other one are really nourishing from the same root. And you didn't disconnect it. It's still connected on the ground. And the same thing is that you're going to have the same halacha for the question that was asked regarding 3 branches of a tree, where although that they're nourishing from the same trunk on the bottom, but it's, since it's considered distinct, where it took root by itself, so then you will acquire the land, just like you see from the halacha over here, that they're going to combine to make it into a vineyard as if it's separate vines, as if you have a total number of 6, not of 3 vines. Now, vimla, vim and starfen. If it didn't take root, then it's not going to combine, or if you have more or less than the area that's required. But one thing you see from this Mishnah is that although that they're nourishing from the same spot, we still view it as a separate a separate vine. The same thing was regarding a tree, although that they're connected to the same trunk, but since ultimately it's covered with ground and it's nourishing by itself, we're going to consider it as a separate tree. And if they're between 4 and 8 amas, all these branches, which are now looking like their own trees, are going to be considered as a orchard, and they'll get the ground. By Reb Papa. Now, different questions from Reb Papa on this topic. If someone sells to someone else 2 trees in his own field, and the third tree is on the boundary itself. Maho, what's halacha in that situation? Do we say that that's too distant because it's on the boundary and the boundaries were a different type of ground and therefore does not combine because it's not comparable to a ste'ilin like an orchard? You don't usually have a tree on the boundary if it's an orchard and therefore it's not going to acquire land, or maybe he would acquire. Continues Rav Papa, and if you're going to say that he would acquire because ultimately it's in the field, although it's on the boundary and it's 3 trees in the right area, but what's halacha if shnayim b'teich shaloi? Let's say he sells him 2 trees in his own field. Where, for example, let's say he has 2 trees at the edge of his field. Now he also has, and he sells them b'echer b'teich shel chaveri. The 3rd tree is actually in his friend's field, where he acquired in his friend's field, which is near to his 2 trees. He acquired a 3rd tree, which he also has the land beneath that tree. My, what would halacha be in that situation? Where you have the 3 trees that he's selling him are all in that area between 4 and 8 amas, or 4 and 16 amas, and the difference would be an orchard, but ultimately that 3rd tree is not even in his own land, it's in his neighbor's land, his friend's land, which, yeah, he owns the tree with that land, but would you say it combines or not? So as you go take a let it stand, it's not clear what the halacha would be in those situations. Now, as you continue to Medbeis, by Ravashi, he continues this theme, and Ravashi asked, if you're going to say that all those cases that we just asked about are not mafsik, they're not interruptions because there's nothing that really gets in the way. So although it's on the boundary or it's even in the neighbor's field, but ultimately these 3 trees are in the right area and therefore they would combine. But his question is, let's say if there's a bur, let's say there's a pit that has gathered water inside of it between the 3 trees. Mahu shatafsik. What would the halacha be over there? Would that get in the way? And that would say, okay, we cannot combine these trees even though they're in the right area because the pit gets in the way? Now, and if you're going to say that it's not mafsik, it does not get in the way because ultimately you don't see the water from the outside and therefore they would combine, but amasamayu mahu shatafsik. What would the halacha be with a canal of water where there you see the water and you say, okay, this cannot be an orchard because you have a stream of water in the middle? And if you're going to say that even the stream of water is not mafsik, but Rishus Harabim, but let's say a public domain, for example, let's say in the appropriate area that we said that has to be between 4 and 16 amas, but not 16 amas itself, ma would halacha be, would that be mafsik or not? Another question, even more, is even if you're going to say, let's say that there is not going to be mafsik, but richfa didiklamau, what's the halacha with a rows of palm trees, of trees that are in a row together, which seems to be the most interposition from anything, because it's like almost like a wall of trees, what would halacha be over there? If they're in the middle of these 3 trees that are in the right area between 4 and 16 amas, would that get in the way of the trees combining or not? So if the Gemara take or let it stand, it's not clear what the halacha would be. Continues the Gemara with this line of questioning. Hill asked from Rebbe, which Rabbi Gershon points out, is not the famous Hill HaZakan, because he didn't live at the same time as Rebbe. Rather, it was a different hill, that he asked, Allah Erez Beinehen, if let's say, after the sale of the 3 trees, which was in the right area, then a cedar grows between those 3 trees. Ma, what's halacha? Would that be hafsik? Would that be getting in the way? And then, therefore, he would not acquire the land. Now, that's how the Gemara assumes was his question originally, and therefore the Gemara wonders. Allah? What? If he already bought the 3 trees, and then later a cedar grows in the middle, that's your question? What do you mean, b'shus didei nafik? So that's coming out of his own property. In other words, it's in the reshus lekech, because since in the beginning, when he bought it, there was nothing in the way, so he said when you have 3 trees in the right amount of space, you acquire the land. So since he acquired the land, of course the cedar that's going to grow is going to be his, because it's his own land, and therefore that's where it's growing, in his own land. Rather, the Gemara explains what Hill's question was, haya eres beinehin mahu. What's halacha if at the time of the sale, the 3 trees were in the right area, but there was a cedar there in the middle. What's the halacha over there? That's what Rebbe said to him. Oh, in such a situation, kana b'kana, he has definitely acquired the cedar too. As we learned in the Braisa, that you acquire not just the trees and the land beneath it and between them, but also vesi lanish b'nei, the trees between them, you also acquire, and the same thing applies to the eras. So the Gemara continues and asks, okay, So we know the halacha of the spacing, which we had a machlekes, was it between 4 and 8, or was it 8 and 16, or was it 4 and 16, which Rava said the halacha is, has to be between 4 and 16, these three trees. We spoke about, do other things get in the way, if it's in the middle. But now the Gemara asks, ketzed hein oimdim, how exactly should be the structural positioning of these three trees when they're planted, which you said has to be between 4, not less than 4 and not more than 16 amas, how is their placing of the planting to acquire the land that's beneath them? So Rava Makishura, he says like a row, like the Rashbams have the picture with three dots one after another, which if it's between 4 and 16 amas, between each one and the other one, so that's going to be considered a stay ilan. Ushmulam, he says kechatsuva, he says like a tripod, which is when they have these, they would have these jugs that were have three legs, each one perpendicular, each one that was equidistant to the other one, like a segel. So you have two dots and one dot in the middle between them. And that's what he says is this halacha of, if you have between each one, 4 and 16 namas, so that's going to be the halacha of a stay ilan. So explains the Gemara. Manda mekeshua rav, who says that the halacha is that if they're in a row, and between each one is 4 and 16 amas, then you acquire all the land, meaning that's by there. So then Koshen Kechatsuva, he for sure holds up Shmuel's description, when it's like a tripod, where there the land is not even fit to be plowed, that's between those three trees, because of their configuration. There for sure the Meicher does not hold on to the land himself, and for sure the Lekeach acquires the land over there. But Umandom Kechatsuva, but according to Shmuel, who he described, that this to be a state ilan has to be like a tripod, but like a row, there he disagrees with Rav. That's not, there the Lekech is not going to acquire the land, even if it's between 4 and 16 amas. My time, what's the reason? Mishum de Mizdarei, Bintayu, because the seller could plant in between those trees. When it's like a segel, so it's hard to get in over there. And therefore, you could go ahead and you could keep the land. But when it's in a row, Shmuel holds that no, then the seller could plant what's between those three trees. And therefore, then he does not sell to the buyer the land that's beneath it over there. Yeah, Maskevla Rav Nuna. Rav Nuna, however, asks, and he says, Ulamanda Amma Kichatsuva, according to Shmuel, that he says that the to be considered the Ilan is like a tripod. My time, what's the reason, as we just explained, that he holds that only over there does the buyer get the land? Because the lem is Darei Bintayu, because the seller can't even plant over there. So he says, okay, you know what, go ahead, and that's why he gives it to the buyer. But on that description, Elmiat, but if that's the case, so then Esther of Amnuna, so Zabmanli Tlas Hige Remusa, if let's say the seller sells to him three large thorn bushes, the loim is Darei Bintayu, where there the seller cannot plant between those thorn bushes because he's worried to go even near them because he's going to get pricked and he's going to get hurt from all those thorns. So Hanama the Yeshla Karka, so you're going to say there also the buyer gets the land. That has the same logic that you're saying is the reason why when it's like a tripod, because it's hard to plant. So by thorn bushes also it's hard to plant. So you can tell me over there that the buyer gets the land? So Amalei, so on that, respond the Gemara. He says to him, no, Hanoch, by the Higira Misa, by the thorn bushes, Loi Hashivi, they're not considered distinct. And therefore, you're not going to get the land. Hanoch Hashivi. But here, by the trees, they're chashiv. In other words, we need two elements to get the land. One is the chashivus of the trees, which we said that if it's three trees that's within a certain amount of area, that's going to be the chashivus, the distinguishing element that's going to make it into state ilan. And also that you can't go ahead and plant between them, where that's like the way Shmuel said, which is like kechatsuva. But just being that you just can't plant, that doesn't give him the land. It also has to be chashiv, which we said is considered chashiv of state ilan, is when you have three trees in the area between 4 and 16 amas. Now the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, and continuing the theme of this parak, which is continuing the theme of the previous parak, regarding when someone sells something unspecified, which in our parak we're talking about metalt and movable items, what is included in that sale? So says the Mishnah, HaMeicher Reish Behem Agastim, someone sells the head of a large animal, Sulei Mocha Eser Aglayim, so it's not included. If you sell an unspecified sale of the head, the legs are not included. Now, the reason for that is because both the heads and the legs of a large animal are considered distinct items. They're both considered chashiv in their own right. And therefore, all these cases that the Mishnah is describing, where if you sell this, you don't include that other thing with it, is because they're considered chashiv by themselves. Now, actually, in the Tosefta, it's taught that the halacha of our Mishnah is only in a place which does not have a specific custom. But if the custom is like that, that when you sell the head, the legs are included, then everything goes according to the minhag of Medina. But if there is no specific custom, then that's halacha. When you sell the head of a large animal, you do not get the legs. Macha es reglayim, when you sell the legs, salay macha es reishim, not sold the head. Macha es hakana, which is actually referring to the lungs, it's only called the kana, which is the trachea, because of that the lungs hang from the trachea. Then loy macha es hakavod, you have not automatically sold with it the liver. Macha es hakavod, if someone has sold the liver, loy macha es hakana has not sold the lungs, again, because they're each one considered chashiv in their own right. Aval bedaka, but let's say with a small animal, small livestock. Then, if someone sells the head, so he has sold the legs with it, because as Rabbeinu Gershom says, because the legs are not considered so chashiv in contrast to the head, because it's very small. And therefore, that's normal for people when they sell the head, they include the legs with it. Now, if, however, someone sold the legs, then he's not automatically sold the head with that, because the head is considered a chashiv thing in its own right, and therefore it's not just secondary to the sale of the legs. If he sold him the lungs, he has included the liver with that. And however, but if he sold him the liver, he has not sold him the lungs with that. And the reason is because the lungs in its own is a chashiv thing. So the liver would be secondary to the lungs, but the lungs is not secondary to the liver. Continues the Mishnah. Arba midas b'meichin. There are four different types of measurements, meaning there are four different halachas that are distinct in the halachas of sales. Now, these are a case when the buyer could back out of the sale, when the seller could back out, when neither one of them could back out, or when both of them could back out. Those are the four different midos, types of situations when it comes to a sale. And now the Mishnah is going to explain what these four categories are. Now, Rashbam points out the fact that it calls it arba midos b'meichin, when it uses a number, numerics of four, it's many times a number is to say, oh, four, not five. That's not what it's coming to do over here. Rather, it's just coming to notify you, to give you an explanation and understanding why is it that these halachas are different, because there are four different types of categories that sales could fall into. As the Mishnah describes, if let's say he stipulated that he's going to sell him good quality wheat, and it turns out that it's inferior quality wheat. So that's not called a mekach tois. It's not considered a mistaken acquisition, where there the halacha would be that actually both of them could back out, because he stipulated he's going to sell him wheat, and he sold him wheat. Now, if it's regarding the fact, but he told me he's going to sell him good quality wheat, and he sold him inferior quality wheat, that would only fit what's called for the category of oina, which is fraud. It's not a total mistaken acquisition, because you got the product, it's just inferior. So that would be similar to the halacha of einah shtos, when someone gets overcharged or undercharged by a sixth, where the halacha is halakeach yochel lachzabai. So the buyer could back out. And the reason is because he was the one that was nis'ana. He's the one that got frauded, where he was supposed to get high quality and inferior quality. Now, however, the seller, who is not frauded, he cannot back out. Now, the chiddush in that is, well, why would he want to back out, is even if ultimately the price went up, where now he's going to be losing, but since at the time of the sale he was not frauded, only lekech, so therefore only lekech could back out. Whereas we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Bava Metzia in Perek Hazav that it says whoever is the one that was got frauded, he has the upper hand. Where if he wants, he could tell the other party, either give me my money, or give me my money back, I want to back out of the whole sale, or give me at least what I was frauded. So here also, the one who was frauded, which is the buyer, because he got the inferior quality instead of high quality, he could back out. Now, Rashbam points out, although actually the halacha is not like that Mishnah, because Rav Paskins and Perek Azav, that actually when there's a fraud of a sixth, the sale is valid. It's just that he has to give him back what he was frauded, and he cannot tell him, like that Mishnah says, give me back my money, I want to back out of the sale. And actually that Mishnah, Rav says, is only like Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and he holds like Reb Nosson. Even so, in this case of our Mishnah, when he was selling him good, high quality wheat, and it ended up turning out to be inferior, there says Rashbam, everyone would agree that the buyer could back out because he fooled him and his intention was never to buy inferior quality. But you're right, by the case of einah shtus, when he frauded him only in the price of a sixth, where he actually ended up buying what he wanted to buy, it's just regarding the price, So there was no error in what he was buying. It was just that it was a higher price. There, he only has to give him back the money that he frauded him, like it says in the pasuk Al Tainu, but the sale is going to be valid, which is like Reb Nosson, how Rabbah Paskin. So that's one category. Continues the Mishnah. Category number two. Rois v'nimtzu yafis. So let's say it was made up that he's going to sell him inferior quality wheat. And it actually turned out that he sold him high quality wheat. So it's the meicher, it's the seller who got frauded. Therefore, so the seller could back out and not the buyer, even if subsequently the price goes down where the buyer is losing. It doesn't make a difference since at the time of the sale, the only one that got frauded was the meicher. And again, it's not like a mekach tais because it's the same product. It's just, but it's like fraud, like the halacha vayna, so the seller could back out, not the lekach. Third category. Ra'is v'nimtzu ra'is. Let's say it was made up that he's going to sell him inferior quality, and that's what he sold him, was inferior quality. Yafis v'nimtzu yafis, or he made up to sell him high quality, and turned out it was high quality. There, ein echad mehem yachal lachzabay, there neither one of them could back out. Even if ultimately the price went up, where then the meicher is losing out, or if the price went down and the lekech is losing out, where we might have thought to say that where the price goes down and the buyer wants to back out, then he could make the following claim. Let's say in the case of when they made up that it's inferior and turned out that it was inferior, the buyer could say, I didn't really want inferior. I was just saying, sell me inferior so that I can get a better price by getting the cheaper product. But it's not that I really wanted something inferior. It's just like how the Gemara is going to explain, because the buyer says, oh, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. Same thing if, let's say, in the case of when they made up that they're going to, let's say when it goes up in price and the seller wants to back out. So he could say, let's say by the case of when they made up to be good and it turns out that it was good, the seller could say, I didn't really plan on giving you good. I actually wanted to sell you lower quality. This that I said higher quality was because the seller says, oh, it's good quality. Meaning like the same concept that the Gemara says regarding where the buyer says, oh, it's bad, the seller always says good or good because each one's trying to get the upper hand in that sale. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that no, by both of them, they cannot back out. And the reason is since it ended up turning out the way they said, because although they're saying that, no, I didn't really mean bad, and he said, I didn't really mean good, but what they said is what ended up being, so therefore none of them could back out when it turns out to be as they had said. And the same halacha, of course, would apply if, let's say, it was just a generic sale, where no one said bad or no one said good, where if it turns out that this is the product what they had made up, even if it subsequently goes up or down in price, where either one might have a loss, neither one of them could back out. The fourth category, shechamsis, if let's say it was made up that he's going to sell him red wheat, where the reason why it's called shechamsis is because it's from the word of the chama, of the sun, which is something that gets red. V'nimtzis levana, it turns out that it was sold white wheat. Now, here both of them made an error, because since it was stipulated that he's going to sell him only shechamsis, so that means to say that he wanted to hold on to the white for himself, meaning the seller made a mistake. So to the buyer, didn't want the white, he only wanted shechamsis, that's what he's coming to buy for. And the same thing applies to all the cases that the Mishnah is going to describe, where we consider it as like two different species, and therefore, since some want only this one and some want only this one, so therefore that's what in the category of what's called already mekach tois. It's a mistaken acquisition. And both of them got frauded because that's not what I ordered. And therefore both of them could back out, even if it's the price value is equal to what he's buying for, but since people don't want this object, neither the buyer or nor the seller, so therefore then both of them could back out. Now, as Rashbam points out, in contrast to, let's say, when it was regarding higher quality or inferior quality wheat, where there, yeah, although everyone wants the yafes and not the rice, where the seller wants to hold on to the good and sell the bad, and the lekech wants to buy the good and not the bad, there it's clear where everyone wants the good and not the bad. In contrast, in these cases, where not necessarily, some people might want the red and not the white, or the white and not the red, therefore consider them as two separate species, and therefore it's going to be considered a mekach tois, and either one of them could back out. As the Mishnah describes, let's say levana v'nimtzis shechamsis, let's say he made up that it's going to be a sale of white, and turns out it was red wheat. Or let's say etzim shel zayis v'nimtzis shel shikama, they made up it's going to be a sale of olive wood, and turns out it was sycamore wood. Shel shikama v'nimtzis shel zayis, they made up sycamore, and turns out it was olive wood. Or yayim and imtza chaymitz. Let's say it was made up, it's going to be a sale of wine. It turns out it was vinegar. Now, as Rashbam points out, this is not a case of when it was made up to be yafis and turns out it was rice, because that's seemingly what it is, because vinegar is spoiled wine. So seemingly it's a case of making up to do high quality and getting inferior quality. which has a different halacha, like we said before, because actually some people prefer vinegar and some people prefer wine, as the Gemara will explain. So therefore, it's not considered good and bad. It's considered two different species. And or chametz v'nimtza yain, unless it was made up to sell vinegar and it ended up being wine. So on this fourth category, shnei michon lachzben, both of them kabeak out, because that's what we're calling a mekach tois. Both of them are frauded. It's not the object at all that was made up to be sold, and therefore either one of them kabeak out.